The scripture that was read, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, has a slap in the face to a congregation that had lost its way. But it was not a unique thing. It was not a unique thing. It is one of the three things that John wrote about in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, that is the basis of all sin. The Corinthians were talking to one another and they were what? Prideful. Oh, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I am this, I am that. And Paul says, I'm so glad of you. You are princes, you are rulers. I wish that I could be just like you. You don't have need of me. You are the teachers. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The last verse of chapter 4, he says, shall I come with a rod? You're going to face your pride one way or the other. The song that Ed led a few moments ago, Near the Cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream. You know, that reminded me of a person that had a problem with pride. Oh yes, he had a problem of leprosy too, didn't he? I'm thinking about Naaman. And Naaman is sent to a prophet to cure his ills. When he is given the instruction, what does he do? He gets on his horse and rides away until he's stopped. Why? He had a problem with pride. So this morning I want to take a look at, if you will, with me. The passages are found in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, and 2 Chronicles chapter 10 through 12. I want to look at one man, and I want to give a background as to this one man, Rehoboam. He was the grandson of the king who was a man after God's own heart. He was the grandson to David. A man after God's own heart is Rehoboam. But I think that there are several lessons that we can learn from as we examine the setting. As we examine, as we see what he teaches us. Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a child of a broken home and a broken faith. His father Solomon, the wisest man on earth, had how many wives? Did you say 700? Yes. 700 wives and 300 concubines. How can a child learn love? How can a child learn commitment in that type of a broken home and situation? Where is the commitment of one spouse to another? God created man and woman and he said, the two shall become what? One. Not one of many. And you shall cleave. What? What does that mean? Cling to? Grasp a hold of? Don't let go? Solomon had some mighty big arms. Cleaving to so many women. But I think that what I see when I look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Say it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, is we see that Solomon passes away and the heir apparent comes to the throne. Now, is there anything extraordinary about that? Of course not. There isn't. One king dies, the other king rises up. What I think is extraordinary is that Solomon had 12 governors under him. 12. Ruling the extent of the nation. He had a son that's an heir apparent. And he did not model. He did not mold. He did not... What's the word I want to use? There's another word. What do we call it in the business world? My mind went blank. I'm sorry?
Mentor.
There you go. Thank you. He did not mentor his heir apparent. It boggles my mind that he had 12 governors underneath him. He knew he was going to die sometime. And he did not mentor the heir apparent. Yet, that is the very thing that we need to be doing. The disciples were given the instruction, go ye therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing. What? Making them disciples? We're not just supposed to stick people in the bathtub. Not just supposed to proclaim Jesus, but to help them learn to live as Jesus lived. To learn humility. To learn how to serve. Even as Jesus gave that example. The young man, Rehoboam, came to the throne. And as people are, especially in this country, we want our children to succeed better than we did. Is that a true statement? Yes? No? There's a few nods. We want our children to succeed better than us. But yet, children... Okay. There are some up over here. I'm not picking on you guys by asking this question, okay? Do you just want to be like mom and dad all the time? You want to do things that mom and dad do because mom and dad do them? I have to have a confession for you. I have become an old man. I drive like an old man. Daryl, you're an exception. I drive like an old man. Okay? And I still get brain freeze. We were driving into Lee Summit the other night during the rainstorm. I could not see the proper markings. The turning lane was marked. And even though I had my signal on, I gave plenty of warning. Guess what? I was wrong. I was in the wrong lane. You know what I heard? I heard the blaring of horns. Why? I was driving like an old man. Well, there's a time and a place for young people to stand up. To learn to be, can I say it? Their own men. Their own women. To not only be the cute little kid, but to be able to stand on their own with their own thoughts, with their own practices, with their own faith. With their own faith. When we have our faith because it's mom and dad that said or did, that's not going to sustain. The faith that is pleasing to God, Hebrews 11 verse 6, is what? It is our faith. If Abraham was judged right or reckoned righteous because he did what? Oh, I guess I already gave the answer, didn't he? He did. God said he did. He obeyed his faith in God. Not because of someone else. Even though David was the what? Man of God, the friend of God, the one who had God's own mind, that was not the solution for Solomon. That was not the solution for Rehoboam. They had to learn on their own who God is and their place with God. But there's a place between youthful rebellion and youthful ambitions and open revolt. When we look at Rehoboam, we learn that his actions created the choosing of signs. As he oppressed the people of Israel, as he said, we'll get to that in just a moment, as he said that I am going to be harder than my father, he drove a wedge among the people. He required that people choose their signs. God's will, God's way, is a unifying force. But it's unifying in Him. So as we look at Rehoboam, I want to look at, well, I got stuck this week in phrases. And one of the phrases that came to mind was, the fruit don't fall from the tree, far from the tree. Is that a true statement? Solomon had, what would we say, 700 wives and 300 concubines? Look with me at how many wives and concubines that the son had. We read that he had 18 wives and 60 concubines. He fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. Who? This man, Rehoboam. He was what he learned and grew not beyond it. There's an Okie that, for those of you that means an Oklahomian. There's an Okie that was a member of our congregation back home as I was growing up. And he used this phrase, water seeks its own level. What he's pointing out in relation to Rehoboam is, Rehoboam was given the counselors, was given the governors, was given all sorts of expert advice when he began to rule. What did Rehoboam do? He took their advice, pushed it aside, and he grabbed those who were his friends round about him and listened to their advice. Water seeks its own level. Why is it, or how is it, that we tend to congregate among people that are like us? If only we are like each other. Where comes the admonition? Where comes the admonishment that we need? So as we look at Rehoboam, and we're drilling down to one specific event, talk about pride, I want to look at his pridefulness. He says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, as he begins his, or chapter 10, I'm sorry, begins his discussion of his starting of his kingdom after the death of his father Solomon. The people come to him and they say, your father has been very heavy on us. He has taxed us to the limits. Not only did he build a grand palace. What? A palace. Did you read the description of the palace or the throne of Solomon? It was a solid ivory throne that was overlaid in gold. It had 12 steps up to it. And on each step there was a lion of gold leading up to the temple, or leading up to the throne. He had made to be placed under guard. He had 200 gold shields made. The shields were 60 shekels in weight of gold. What is a shekel? A shekel is something like 2/3 of an ounce. It represents a month's worth of salary. 200 shields that were worthless. Gold is not a good material to defend against. It, compared to steel, what will it do? It'll bend. It'll take the knife or the sword impact it will give. They weren't meant for defense. They were meant for glory. 300 shekels beaten into the gold, or beaten gold. 300 months of wages for every one of those 200 shields that were never to be used in defense, but in glory. And this is Solomon's judgment. But how do we come then to Rehoboam? Rehoboam says, as he took over the kingdom, the people came to him as they all congregated together to anoint him as king. And they said unto him, starting in chapter 10 of 2 Chronicles, then Rehoboam counseled with the elders who had served his fathers. Oops, I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 4. Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, and we will serve you. What were they promising? We will serve you, but now wait a minute. All of the heavy burden that Solomon put onto us to make his grand palace, to make the temple of God, to make the cities of refuge, or the city of the fortresses that he made throughout the countryside, all that he has done, it's done. Lighten our burden. Lighten our burden. But his reply was, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. I am stronger than my father. I am more powerful than my father. My little finger is thicker. My father loaded you with a heavy yoke. I am going to add to it. My father disciplined you with a whip. I will discipline you with scorpions. Pride. All there is to it is pride. Was there a need to put the burden upon the people or to increase the burden? Was there a need? Dad was the wisest. Dad was the richest. Dad was the most notorious. Notorious, that's a good word. What's the word? Famous? People came around from the world around over to sit at the feet of Solomon and to hear his wisdom. Here's your film, son. Here's Dad. I am going to be stronger than Dad ever was. Well, let's look at this thought about pride going before destruction. Because pride, Jesus tells us in Mark 7, verses 22 and 23, is from the heart. It emanates from the heart. Just like murders, just like thoughts, just like any other sin against God and man, its source is the heart. That's where it begins. That's why John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 talks about what? The three types of sin? All sin comes from what? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and what? Pride. Pride of life. Source. The result is, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, is it defiles man. As we see exemplified in the letter to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, pride goeth before destruction. What are you saying? Pride is exemplified in the way that they dealt with one another. Their arrogance and their boastfulness. That is the same that we see in Rehoboam. It's exemplified. It's arrogant. And it's boastful. Pride
goeth before destruction. Now let me get down to the passage that I really want us to get down to today. After that background of Rehoboam. In Rehoboam, in chapter 12, there's an event that happens. Chapter 12, 2 Chronicles. You see, when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and strong, he and all Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. And it came about that in King Rehoboam's fifth year, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen.
I'll pause right there. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Solomon in his glory had 1,400 chariots. But now that the kingdom has been divided, here comes this Egyptian that is attacking the kingdom of Judah. And the people came from with him from Egypt without number, and the Lubrian and the Sukkim and the Ethiopian. And he captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shimei, the prophet, came to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord your God, you have forsaken me, so I've forsaken you. You have forsaken me, so I have given you up to what you want. You want to be bold? Go at it." I remember as a child, this happened to me. Mom and Dad also did it to my little brother. You know, there's that point in time when the Dyers, maybe you kids never got that opportunity, but when the Dyer boys particular got too big, "I don't want to do this," was a response. So, guess what? "I'm going to run away." Have you ever run away from home? I did. I remember my little brother did. His was in the middle of a snowstorm and, you know, he was not allowed to take the coat because he didn't buy it. He wasn't allowed to take any toys because, guess what? He didn't buy them. He wasn't allowed to take any food because what? That's right, he didn't buy it. Well, what was happening here? That was a problem of pride. That's the same problem that we see exhibited in Rehoboam. He got so puffed up, so arrogant, that he was going to be king better than the dad? King better than Solomon? And God said, "You forsaken me. You got too big for your head. You got too big of bridges. So go at it. Go at it." Isn't that reminiscent of what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 about people who have forsaken God, that God what? Said, "Go about your way." When you have forsaken God, how is he going to be able to reach out to you? Unless you come back to it. And that's a lesson that we see here in Rehoboam. Because in Rehoboam, as we read in verse 6, "And the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, 'The Lord is righteous.'" They humbled themselves and came back to God. Now, there were some consequences to their sin. God did not allow them to be totally crushed by Shishak. Oh, God's going to give them a lesson. God's going to teach them, but he wants them to understand
that they themselves have no power. Why do we think we're so big for our britches? Why do we think that it's pride? I've got more knowledge. I've got a bigger group. I've got. Where is that focus on? Right here. Shishak looked at the riches of Solomon, saw that it was tempting and it was available. And here's this puffed up offstart, Rehoboam. This reed blowing in the wind. And he took advantage of it. But Rehoboam was instructed that he had left God. And he humbled himself. And God provided deliverance so that they would not all be destroyed. But there were consequences. And they became slaves to Egypt. So, we really have a contrast here. We have a contrast between pride and humility. James in James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He's not going to forget you. He stands behind you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be with Him. What is the eternal purpose of man? We've looked at over and over again in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. God's purpose for man was that he be presented through Christ Jesus to Him. Blameless and holy. Blameless, holy. To Him. He wants us to succeed. It is our pride that gets in the way. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, the last part of verse 5 reads, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is what? He is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares and anxiety on Him, because why? He cares for you. You're important. You are important. We read John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we go through it just about that fast, don't we? God so loved the world. Who? You. So much that He would give up His own Son as a sacrifice for you. You're valuable. You have value to God. The question is, how do we deal with that? Will we have pride, or will we be humble? Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. God wants those who are mellow, those who are emptying themselves so that He can form His children in them. There's a lot said there in Romans chapter 6, as Paul wrote, that those who have been buried with Christ have died, that they might walk, rise up in newness of life. We walk in a different type of life. Not with our suspenders out. Not with our chest puffed out. In humbleness. In adoration. This is the lesson that Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian brethren there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, what do you desire? Shall I come with you with a rod or with love? In a spirit of gentleness.
The choice is ours. Just as it was with Rehoboam, just as it has been with God's people throughout. How do we respond to God? This morning, this lesson is for you to ponder. Pride and humility. Rehoboam gives us an example of pride that has gone wrong among us. I am going to be badder. I am going to be meaner. It is mine. I am going to do it. Until God gets his attention. Does God have to get your attention? He asks for humble service. Service to him. This morning, if you have a need, whether to be united with Christ in baptism, putting to death that pride, that you might be able to walk in newness of life, a life of servitude to him, we want to invite you to come forward. This morning, if there is another need, perhaps you have been battling this giant of pride. We can help in any way. Come to one of these front few pews as we sing invitation songs.